بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. We shall start our discussion tonight with a few verses of the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah, which is chapter number 2 in the Holy Quran, verses number 124 and 125. وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن. قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما، قال ومن ذريتي، قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين. وإذ جعلنا البيت مثابة للناس وأمنا واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى. وعهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل طهر بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين أن طهر بيتي للطائفين وركع السجود. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. Continuing with our discussion on the basics of the principles of Islam. The first root of the religion we talked about was Tawheed, monotheism. Then we talked about Ma'ad, the Day of Judgment, following Prophethood, Nubuwwah, following justice, divine justice, Adala. And today we conclude with the last of the basics, of the roots of the religion, which are five, and that is Imamah, which is a divine successorship to prophethood. Does the term imama appear in the Quran, first of all? That's the first question that usually arises. And the answer is yes. Allah talks to Ibrahim alayhi salam and says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما. سورة البقرة, verse number 124. When Allah, the Lord of Ibrahim, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ, Ibrahim's Lord tested him, ibtala, with some words, bikalimat. Now, we don't have the time, unfortunately, to talk about what does God mean by words. Why does he refer to them words? But there are tests, examinations. And he completed them successfully. فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. Upon the completion of these exams, what did Allah tell Ibrahim? قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Now I am making you to the people an imam. So at what stage was this revealed to Ibrahim? Was this before he was a prophet, or was it after he was declared as a messenger? Before he was a messenger or after? Mufassirin, the interpreters of the Quran, they say that it was revealed after that he was declared a messenger. So what are these examinations? Ibrahim alayhi salam was put through many examinations. Among them is that he was ordered to go and face the tyrant or the oppressor of his time in Babylon, Namrud. He destroyed the idols. If you remember the story of destroying the idols, when he destroyed the idols and then they came to him, they said, did you do this? He said, no, the big one did it. It's his fault. Go ask him. They said, they don't talk. So he said, how can you worship something that doesn't talk, doesn't have a mind, doesn't even see? So then what did they do as a result, as a consequence? What was his punishment? They decided to do what? Throw him into the fire. Throw him into the fire. Exactly. That was his punishment. That was the second examination. He was thrown into the fire. While he was in the air to be on his way, you know, because he was, the fire that they created was so huge that they could not come and throw him into it. They had to actually create a device in which they put him into it, and it had a swing. So they swung, threw Ibrahim into the fire. It is used in the previous days in wars. If you remember, they put fire into it and they swing it at the army. Do you know what's it called? A cannibal? Canapode. Canapode. Okay. So that's what they created. It was created at that time to throw Ibrahim. On his way, you know, in transit, I guess, in the air towards the fire, Jibra'il came to him. Said, Ya Ibrahim, you're about to burn into the fire. Is there anything, any help that I can provide you with? He said, you provide me with help? No, I don't need your help. But at this stage, I do need God's help, Allah's help. Look at the faith of Ibrahim. So he passed that test. And then Allah indeed rewarded him and said, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا. The fire became cold, and it was cold. So when he fell into the fire, and they saw that he did not burn, then the Namrud accepted having a discussion with Ibrahim. You know, oppression did not work, killing him did not work, so now we have to have a communication. And that's when the Quran says that they had a discussion. Ibrahim said, my Lord is the one who creates and takes life away. That tyrant, his name is not mentioned in the Quran, but it is Namrud, according to the Tafasir in Babylon. Ibrahim said that my Lord is the one who brings life and takes life away. Namrud said, well, I can also bring life and take life away. Then Ibrahim said, well, my Lord brings the sun from the west or the east. If you can bring it the other way around. So then he could not reply to that argument. As a result, he was forced to leave the land. He was kicked out. So he had to leave his homeland and immigrate. And then for many years he did not have any children. Finally God granted him children, a child, Ishmael. Just after he got a child, after such a long time, what did Allah tell him? Now you have to do what? Take your child and do what? Do what, sorry? Not sacrifice him yet, no, leave him away. Put him away. So he had to take his son from Bilad al-Sham, Jerusalem, and take him all the way along with his wife Hajar to Saudi Arabia, today's Saudi Arabia, to Bilad al-Hijaz. And he left him in there, in the middle of nowhere, desert. Your only son, after so many years, now you're ordered to leave him in the desert. So he left him there and he looked back as he walked a few steps. He saw, this is a desert. So he turned to Allah. Quran tells us, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِن دُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ My Lord, I'm leaving my progeny in a valley that has no grass, no fruits, nothing. It's a desert. عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ At your sacred house or sacred place. So my Lord, take care of them. And he prayed for them and then he left. After 18 years, he was not allowed to come and see his son for 18 years. After 18 years, he was given the permission to come back and see his son, Ismail. He came back. Now after 18 years, you have not seen your son the first time, and then God tells him to do what? Sacrifice him. Go kill him. And again, he does it. And God compliments him for doing it. And God, of course, saves Ismail from being killed. Then, that has accomplished, God says, now you have to build the Kaaba. You have to build the Kaaba, you have to, in the form that we see it today. This form was built by Ibrahim, alayhi salam. He is the one who laid it out. The position or the location was chosen by Adam, alayhi salam, as instructed by Allah. The actual position of the Kaaba, the location. But the building, that cubic shape, was established by Ibrahim, as revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. So then he built the Kaaba. After passing all these tests after test, test after test, then Allah finally told him, now you have passed and succeeded in all those examinations with an A+. Now I'm going to make you a step better, a step higher. At that stage, he was already a prophet. A prophet is the one who receives the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he does not have to deliver it. We read in history, there were so many prophets who received messages, but they did not have tribes where they would go and deliver the message to. They received the message, but they're not ordered to go and deliver the message. When they are ordered to deliver a message, they become a rasul. Not just a nabi, but a rasul, a messenger. So now he's got to go and deliver the message. So Ibrahim was a Nabi. He was a messenger, a Rasul. He was chosen as Khalilullah. He was given that title. After passing through all these examinations, finally Allah gave him the Medal of Honor or the Golden Trophy, and that is what? Imama. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا Now I'm going to make you an Imam. Which, not only do you have to tell people about what's right and what's wrong, to believe in God and this, not only tell them about it, you're going to have to actually take their hands and guide them to the straight path. That's the job of the Imam, where you guide people, not just tell them. I can tell you, pray fast, I can tell you the recipe, here's how you pray. This is it. Here's the procedure, the methodology. Go ahead and apply it. Or I can tell you, no. Watch me. How do I pray? And this is how you should pray. So now I've gone a step further. By going that one extra step, I am saving you from the chance of error. Because now I'm doing it right before your eyes. So the chance of you mistakenly reading the procedure in the wrong way is minimized. In fact, it is reduced or eliminated, because now I'm doing it right before your eyes. And that is the job of the Imam. That is the stage that Ibrahim alayhi salam arrived at, or he made it to that stage. Then, when they are made to that stage, the question is that it? So he becomes an Imam. Is there any guidance given to the Imam? Allah says yes. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah Al-Anbiya, which is Surah number 21 in the Holy Quran, chapter 21, verse number 73, Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً We have made them imams, a'imma. يهدون بأمرنا. They guide by our command. وأوحينا إليهم فعل الخيرات. And we have revealed to them revelation. فعل الخيرات. To do the good deeds. وإقام الصلاة. وإيتاء الزكاة. Okay? I think the last two are easy to understand. Salat and Zakat. وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ And they were worshipping us, worshippers. Now this revelation, does it mean that it has to come from Jibra'il alayhi salam? Is that the only form of revelation that we read in the Qur'an? Well, let's look at the Qur'an. The Qur'an has talked to us about three types of revelations. One, Allah says about Nahl. أَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ God has revealed to the Nahl, to the bees. He has revealed to them. What is this revelation that God has given to the bees? This type of revelation, interpreters of the Quran say that it is referring to the instinct. What do bees do? What are they famous for? Something that we eat. Honey, exactly. They make honey. This instinct that God has given into the bees is a revelation to the bees, is a source of guidance. That this is what they should do in life. That's their task. This is their job in life. So this is the first form of revelation. Okay? Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. This form is known as al-ghariza. They call it al-ghariza. Okay? That's the first form. A second form of revelation, Allah says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ And we have given revelation to the mother of Musa. When Musa's mother delivered the boy, Musa, the Pharaoh had the news that there will be a boy who will be born and he might overtake his own kingdom. So he started murdering all the boys. Any boy that's born, he kills him. It is said that 22,000 boys, baby boys, were murdered during the time of the Pharaoh. 22,000. So when Musa's mother gave birth to a boy, she was really worried about the fate of her son. But God comforted her. He revealed to her that if you're worried about him, feed him, nurse him, and put him in a box or tabut, and throw him into the water. Don't worry about him. We'll take care of him. What kind of a revelation was this? This was this inspiration. The inspiration. She did not receive an angel. No angel came to her and told her to do this. So it was an inspiration. She, a voice from within her that came out, basically, and comforted her that this is what she should do. But this was not just any ordinary voice. We can call sometimes your gut feeling. You know how sometimes you say, my gut feeling says that this should be right. I just have a good feeling about it. But it was not just an ordinary gut feeling. Something that she realized this was coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, what mother would throw her baby into the water thinking that he'll be saved? This is crazy. It's insanity. If a woman does this in this day and age, you know, the social workers will come after her and she'll be put in jail probably. So she realized that this is not just her gut feeling telling her. No, this is an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the second type of wahi that was came to the mother of Musa to guide her to do the perfect act. It was a guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mother of Musa, by the way, is not a ma'suma. She was not an infallible lady. Okay? So now we have this inspiration, this wahi that comes to non-infallibles, non-ma'sumi. Alright? A third type is through a messenger, like Jibra'il alayhi salam. Jibra'il would come and give a revelation. Now the question is, does Jibra'il only come to prophets? Do you know the answer? Does Jibra'il alayhi salam, the angel, does he only come to prophets? What do you say? Who says yes, only prophets? Good. What is your reason, my friend?
I don't know.
You're just guessing. Okay, who says not necessarily to prophets? What is your reason? A guess as well. It's a 50-50, you know, it's either yes or no. Well, let us read the Quran. What does Allah say about Maryam alayha salam? فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. We have sent to her our ruh, our spirit. And then he came to her in the form of a man, of a human being. Right? Who was that ruh? Who was the one that was sent to her? It was Jibra'il alayhi salam. According to the interpreters and the commentators of the Quran, it was Jibra'il. Mufassirin say Jibra'il was sent to Maryam. Maryam was infallible, my dear brothers and sisters. She was ma'suma. إن الله اصطفاك وطهرك واصطفاك على نساء العالمين. Allah has chosen you and purified you, and He has chosen you over the women of the world. That's the verse of the Quran. So she was tahira, she was purified, she was ma'suma, infallible. Maryam عليه السلام. Jibra'il came to her, but she was not a prophet. Therefore, we can say that Jibra'il can come and see a ma'soom, an infallible, even though he or she is not a prophet. True? That's what the Quran tells us. Okay. Now we come to the fundamental belief in our aqidah, in our belief as Muslims. We believe that after the Prophet, peace be upon him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the leadership of the Muslims, ummah or nation, must reside in an infallible imam chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and delivered by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He chose him based on the revelation he receives from Allah. For what reason? One, when it comes to religion and religious affairs, you have to go to those who have complete knowledge of the religion. 100%. It can't be 99%. It has to be 100. Because when it comes to religious issues and leadership in religion, you can't guess. I think this is what the answer is. That cannot work. You have to be an imam and a ma'soom and infallible. According to the ahadith, we have lots of ahadith. One of the verses is, Allah want to purify you Ahl al-Bayt thoroughly. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ يُظْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّجْسَ. Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33, Ayah number 33. That Allah wants to purify you. And so many interpreters of the Quran say that Ahl al-Bayt are, or this verse was revealed about the Prophet, Imam Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. The Prophet says, I am leaving amongst you two things, the book of Allah and my progeny, وَعِتْرَةِ أَهْلَ بَيْتِي, and so on and so forth. So many ahadith that Allah, that the Prophet, and so many verses in the Quran declare that indeed, after the Prophet, the imamah, the leadership of the Muslims, resides in Ali ibn Abi Talib, after him to Hassan, and then Hussein, and then the children of Hussein alayhi salam. These are imams, a'immah, infallible ma'sumeen. They were the leaders. They had knowledge more than anyone else. They were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the argument that says after the Prophet dies, people can choose who their religious leader can be. This is a false argument. People cannot choose a religious leader, because no matter what people think, they don't have the perfect knowledge. So how can they know that they've chosen the perfect person? That's one. Second, since when did any people come and have a convention to choose a prophet? Only Allah declares the prophets. And only Allah chooses the divine. People cannot make these decisions. It's up to Allah to make them. Allama al-Zamakhshari, who is a commentator, interpreter of the Quran, mufassir of the Quran, when it came to the ayah that says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهِ ورسوله والمؤمنون الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون. Indeed, your masters are Allah, the Messenger, and the believers, those who establish prayers and pay charity, zakat, while they're in the state of ruku'. Allama Zamakhshari says this verse was revealed about Ali ibn Abi Talib. The believers are Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he defends it. He defends it. He argues, those who argue saying that if it were revealed about Ali ibn Abi Talib, why did Allah say wal mu'minun, the believers? He should have said the believer, wal mu'minu. Ali ibn Abi Talib, one person. Why did he choose the plural form? He says God did this so that he would encourage the believers, the mu'mineen, to follow the footsteps of Ali ibn Abi Talib and to do the same thing he did. Because it was such a great and noble act of paying charity while he's in the state of ruku'. And this hadith is narrated by Abu Dhar al-Ghafari, one of the Prophet's companions. So the masters are Allah, the Messenger, and Imam Ali, Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. These are the infallible imams. These are the leaders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. They have the knowledge. The knowledge that no one else has. And Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Hud, أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقَّ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُتَّبَعُ. Isn't the one who guides to the truth, حَقَّ, more worthy of being followed, or the one who cannot guide to the truth, but he is a follower? Which one you should follow? The one who can guide to the truth. So according to the Quran, according to the Ahadith, Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam had the knowledge. Besides this, according to the history, if you read the history, Imam Abu Hanifa al-Nu'man, Imam Malik, they all agree. There is a book known as Al-Imam al-Sadiq wal-Madhahib al-Arba'ah, Imam al-Sadiq and the Four Rights. It's written by a person, a scholar from Najaf. His name is Asad Haider. Asad Haider wrote this book. In the introduction, there is a commentary by a doctor from Egypt by the name of Dr. Hanafi, Hanafi Ibrahim. Dr. Hanafi Ibrahim has written an introduction, right in that book, same book. He says, I embarked on a mission. He's a doctor at Cairo University. He says, I embarked on a mission of writing about Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, Imam al-Sadiq, and how he was the teacher of Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik and all those four rights, Imam Shafi'i, indirectly Imam Shafi'i and Imam Hanbali, indirectly, he is also their teacher, indirectly. He said, I wanted to embark on this, so I started gathering the information and putting the data together, let's say the history. He said, but every time I encountered a person, a colleague of mine at work of the faculty, they said, why are you doing this? Don't venture into this venue. Leave it alone. And I was wondering, why do they say this? But he said, I kept on gathering the information and putting it, but every time, whenever I talk to my friends about it, my colleagues about it, no one encourages me. I never found the encouragement. So after some time, also my motivation kind of died down. You know, and I never wrote the book. Although I had all the paperwork, I had all the gathered the information. He says, I was surprised that 10 years later, I came across this book, which had the same idea that I wanted to write 10 years ago. He said, this made me conclude that the word of truth cannot be hidden. You can't hide the word of truth. He says, unfortunately, it is very unfortunate that I, as an academic person, was prevented from writing this book. But now, the word of truth has come out. And here is my introduction about this book. That's what he says, in a nutshell. In that book, Asad Haider, the scholar who's written it, says clearly that Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa has all given the testimony that the most knowledgeable person that existed was Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, without a doubt. No one doubts him. So according to history, according to the Quran, according to the actions of Ahlul Bayt, who never ever made a mistake, and no historian ever dares, any fair historian, dares to claim that Ahlul Bayt have ever made any mistake or any error. They were pure, ma'sumeen, infallible. They are the true leaders. So we believe in them as the leaders and the successors after the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Whether they were chosen and put into khilafah position and leadership position, or they were shoved aside and were forced to not interfere with the matters of khilafah. Either case, they are still the imam, they're still the leaders. They're still the ones who should be in charge. This leaves me, my dear brothers and sisters, with the final word, which is currently, we believe that the 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, was born, and he is the Imam of our time. When Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was asked by one of his companions, how can an Imam come and then go in an occultation, hiding, where people cannot see him? How can they benefit from him? He said, just like the sun. Even though it is hidden by clouds, we on earth can still benefit from it. Similarly, because the Imam is hidden, doesn't mean that we don't benefit from him. We can still benefit from him. And this is, my dear brothers and sisters, the conclusion of this first part of our series titled Islam 101, which talked about the roots of religion consisting of Tawheed, Ma'ad, Adalah, Nubuwah, and Imamah. Thank you, and sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.